Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, I'm back and I'm black and brown. Hey, Mandy. This is Tiffany.
Hey, Tiff.
How are you?
How you doing? I'm okay. I feel like kind of homeless lately. I went to a conference in Austin, Texas, Wednesday through Friday, and then I flew to the A, which was a secret until I just said it out loud right now. You know how when you go to your hometown, and you live where you work, but you go to your hometown and you like don't tell anyone you're going to be there because you don't want to be bombarded.
Yes.
I snuck in like a ninja to Atlanta, and then I was at my alma mater, University of Georgia, today, where I was talking to the kids about business journalism and podcasting, which was perfect because I talked all about Brown Ambition and inspired the youth, I think. I basically told them if we can do it, anybody can do a podcast. So I'm in Athens, Georgia now, and I have to head back to Atlanta, and then I fly back to New York tomorrow, and I still don't have a home because mine's being ripped apart right now. So I feel a little funky.
Well, not really. I mean, we haven't even started on the house. I'm like, I'm leaving that for now. But I have a new niece.
Oh, really?
Yes. On the 12th, my sister had our niece. Her name is Lillian, Lily for short, and she's super adorable, full head of hair. So I'm super excited because my sister, she and her husband have been trying for a long time. So we've got this amazing, beautiful little girl. And so now we are up next. I know I haven't given you guys any update about like my child trying journey. So actually today I had I don't want to call it a minor surgery, but it's not like, I feel like I've had it so many times. So what happens is you get your fibroids removed, and some people get scar tissue, which I did. So I had a scar tissue. I had my fibroids removed in January of this year, had scar tissue removed maybe a few months after that. Unfortunately, the scar tissue came back. So apparently, you know how let's just say you get a cut on your arm and like the skin is like searching for itself. So it like connects together.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so the same thing happened like in my uterus. So like the top part of my uterus and the bottom part of my uterus are like, hey, girl, we both trying to heal. Let's hold hands. So literally it was like, so they were like, ooh, you got a lot of scar tissue. So I had to get it removed a second time. And then they put something inside me called it's a UID.
IUD? That's to prevent pregnancy.
It is. And so, but what it does is they did the one that they didn't, it's not with the medicine to actually hold open my uterus as it healed. So an IUD is almost like a stick, like a prop, you know? And so they put that in. And so I'm not supposed to get pregnant now anyway. I have to basically wait until I was healed. And so they put that in. I had a removal surgery. They put it in. So that way my uterus would not try to stick together again. And it went really well. So I went today to the doctor, which is, I think it's called a hysteroscopy, something. I don't know.
Hysterectomy?
No, heck no.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm like trying to keep track with what? No, don't do that. Don't do that.
I know. So it's called a hysteroscopy, I think. So basically, they go in and remove any remaining scar tissue. So she said she just saw just a little bit when she was in there today. So she took it, left the IUD in because she was like, you know, you probably just need one more month of healing. But she's like, honestly, Tiffany, you look awesome on the inside. So your uterus is completely clear. It looks healthy. And then I'm going to start my IVF process once, after this month, basically. So basically in October, November-ish, I should start the process, which is I don't know, needle, 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 take your eggs, you know, fertilize them with Superman sperm. You know, hopefully they grow, put them in you. So I honestly could be pregnant by the end of this year. Or it might not take the first cycle. So basically every cycle is matched with your cycle. So, you know, the next time my cycle comes is basically when I can try. So it can, like, you know, like some people right away, you know, their first cycle it takes and yay. And some people it's like 3 or 4 cycles in. So you just never know. But I don't know. I've got a good feeling. So for those of you who are listening, like, you know, I'm just sharing because honestly, I think, I don't know. I feel like people think having kids is so easy. I know I thought, because I just figured, you know, in my thotting 20s, not that I was a huge thot, not really, but I just, you know, definitely was on my mind, like, don't get pregnant, don't get pregnant.
Yeah, you spend so much time not, like, wanting not to be pregnant, and then when you finally shift your mind to how to get pregnant, you realize it's not that easy.
Yes, and honestly, when I tell you, when I share with my girlfriends who are like, you know, I too, honestly, Mandy, like, it feels like 30%. Have like a story of of how they struggled. And I'm just like, wow, I didn't realize how many women struggle. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up, because honestly, the only thing I've been doing since the last time I spoke about it and now is basically getting scar tissue removed, healing, getting scar tissue. So there was no like real, you know, there's nothing I could really do but just like heal scar tissue. And like the surgery that I had today was, I mean, you're up and about, like, honestly, like, you know, they tell you don't drive, obviously, Superman had to come because, you know, they put you under, but there's no pain or anything like that. And then they put you on, like, hormones to, like, rebuild up your lining since they took some scar tissue. But, yeah, I'm excited because we could finally actually start all this time. It's been a year of prepping Tiffany's uterus, you know? And so now, finally, it's like, uterus, girl, it's almost time.
You're renovating your uterus.
Exactly.
Little fixer-upper.
And now it's like, woohoo, finally.
You're ready, like, to see your fixer-upper.
I know, exactly. Like, and then you walk in like, oh my God, you, this girl, you look so cute in here. So I'm excited. And plus, you know what I really love is that, like, and then the fact that, like, my sister, who also, you know, like, it wasn't as easy to get pregnant, is the fact that she just had her baby. It's like, you know, just confirmation of, like, there is, and honestly, not that because I guess maybe I'm still so early in the process because we haven't actually tried as far as, like, you know, like with IVF. So it's not like I've had this disappointment. It's just been prep work. I don't feel like, oh my gosh, it's not going to happen for me. I still feel like, yes, next up, baby time. Mm-hmm. And so I guess we'll see, like, what, you know, like, I am a little nervous about the IVF process. I'm not needle skittish, but from what I hear, it's a lot of needles, you know?
Well, let's talk about it, because don't you have to inject yourself?
Yes.
With, people tell me those are not hormone? Bad.
Yeah. So basically you, like, from what I understand, you inject yourself. And then something you, like, so the doctor was telling me today, but I was loopy off of my my meds. And she was basically saying something to the effect of, like, first they kind of suppress your hormones a little bit, and then they give you something to kind of boost them. So that way you have really good, strong eggs that are all mature at the same time. And then they harvest them and take, you know, they're hoping. So let's just say you are an egg making machine and they could take 12 of them. That would be 12 healthy eggs. That would be awesome. But some people, they can only get 1 or 2.
Right.
And so you just never know, like, you know, what you're going to do, what you're going to be, you know? So if they take, say, like 3 or 4, I'm somewhere in the average, they'll take the 3 or 4, they'll get a sample from Superman, and they will fertilize the eggs and basically watch them, she said, for 5 days. To see which eggs, by then they'll be, not fetuses. What's the thing before the
embryos.
Fetus? Embryos. Look at you, Mandy. Like, they'll be embryos, and they'll see which embryos are growing. Basically, you know, which ones are healthy. And then when the embryos are, like, you know, the ones that continue to grow after 5 days, that's the ones that are, you know, most likely to make it. We opted for the second level, which is to get them tested chromosomally.
Right, I want to make sure there's abnormalities.
Yeah. So that's extra. So I'm fortunate in that because Superman works for the city, his insurance, honestly, Mandy, pays for like every penny. I think I paid $10 to go see the doctor. It's, you know?
Of all the treatments too? Like the actual,
yes,
oh, that's everything. Amazing.
I know. Honestly, I don't know that we would be able to do this without that. So one of his coworkers did this, and his wife has twins. And they pay for everything. The treatments before, after, like all of these, like cleanup surgeries, all of that has been paid for. So the one thing that they didn't pay for, which we're going to pay for, it's I think it's $2,000. But I want to get, the embryos tested chromosomally to make sure that, you know, like to test for things that, you know, like it would just make it really hard to raise, you know, a baby afflicted with those things. And so we'll get tested for those and then choose the healthiest embryo. And then the other ones that are also healthy. So let's just say chromosomally, they're all fine. And of the five, three of them grow. You can freeze two and then, you know, try with the one. And then if the one doesn't grow then inside you, then they can like unthaw another one. Here's the thing that's really important is that this, I didn't understand the whole thing about freezing your egg. So because I'm 38, like, let's just say I would have frozen my eggs at like 33. And I really recommend folks really thinking about it, especially women who know that they might not have kids until a little later. When you freeze your eggs, you freeze like the time frame. Like, so any eggs, any embryos that I can freeze now, those are 38-year-old woman's embryos. So if I say, let's just say later at 42, let's just say I have this baby and at 39, yay, the baby comes. And then at 40, I'm like, I want to do it again. I don't have to use 40-year-old eggs and embryos. I can use my 38-year-old, which, you know, by definition should be a little bit stronger and healthier, you know?
So you're going to do as many as you can?
Well, I guess, yeah, whatever. I might only get one healthy embryo, and then that's what we work with. You know, you just – there's no way to tell, quite honestly.
Yeah.
It's just such a process because you're just like, wow, people literally just lay down in bed. And they're like, oh, man. And then they have a baby.
Whoops.
Literally. And then there are people who are like, you have to, you know, just all of this. And it's just crazy to me, like, how that works out. But like I said, I'm feeling really good about it. One thing that they said, too, is that some people pick, and I don't know that we'll do this, but like you can, because we're getting tested chromosomally, you can like, let's just say like all of them are boys. That's one thing, but I'll know the sex of the baby. But like, let's just say I had an embryo that's a girl, an embryo that's a boy, and both of them are healthy. She's like, you can pick. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I want to do all that, but I'm someone who would want to know ahead of time. I might just be like, pick the healthy one. Oh, it's a boy. Great. You know?
Yeah.
If you got a chance to pick, would you pick the sex of your child?
It would feel so unnatural to pick the sex of a child. I guess, you know what? I would pick a girl because I feel like there's lots of societies where people purposefully don't have girls because of like social norms. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but.
We talked about it a lot. Like, what do you think? And I was like, honestly, at this point, I just really want a healthy baby. And so I feel like, that might be out of our hands, not the healthy baby part, but we might have three healthy embryos and they're all boys, you know?
I mean, pick the best one with the best shot of taking, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly what I said. I'm like, I just want like a healthy baby and, you know, boy or girl. Although I'm like, Lord, like Supergirl, you know, she's so much better now. You know, she certainly doesn't say Tiffany ain't done the dishes in a while. I'm sure she thinks it, but she doesn't say it. So I'm not going to lie. Having another girl in the house, I don't know. But at this point, I just want a healthy baby. So I'm excited though. A little nervous because I'm like, yikes, a baby. Because whenever I babysit my niece and my nephew, because my niece is one and my nephew's three, my sister looks at me like, you sure you want all of
Listen, I don't look too closely. Like that's my philosophy. Because if you overthink it, that's the hard part about like doing the IVF and all that, like adopting even like you're willfully doing this to yourself. Like you are on purpose having a baby.
Yes, exactly. So I'm just like, yeah. But I mean, I know it's not going to be easy, but honestly, me and Superman were just talking the other day. I'm like, you know, we're just so blessed. Like, you know, we've got, you know, we have each other. You know, I'm thankful that my parents are here still. You know, I've got awesome family, my sisters, my niece, my nephew, my new niece. And like, I get to do what I love for a living and, you know, make a good amount of money doing so. But bigger than that, I mean, it comes down to family and love. And I just want to like, you know, expand that, you know, I really want to have a baby with Superman. He's like such an awesome dad already, the Supergirl. And like, just like my niece and my nephew, they just love him. honestly all the kids in the neighborhood. He is the black Mr. Rogers. And like just the other day, I'm telling you, I can't come in the house without somebody eating our applesauce. Hey, Miss Tiffany. It's Mr. Superman. Well, they don't call him Mr. Superman. Is Mr. Superman home? You know? And I'm like, no. Y'all got applesauce? I'm like, that's exactly it.
You must have the good squeeze applesauce everyone loves now.
No, well, no, we get the like the little Mott's cups. Literally, we don't even eat applesauce. I think Supergirl doesn't even enjoy applesauce like that anymore because she's 11 now, so you know she thinks she's grown in seventh grade. So yeah. She's not a big applesauce eater. We literally keep it for the babies in the back, and now they even know to ask, "Can I have a spoon?" I'm like, "A spoon too." I get disposable spoons because, God forbid, you know, we don't have a spoon to go with the applesauce that they're confiscating from our home. But honestly, he is just like the best. And I just like, I could just see him like, he's just a really good father. And I just know that I want to bring, even though the world is a little crazy, a baby into the world with him and raise a baby. He's like, our baby's going to save the world. I'm like, I don't know about all that, Superman. I just want our baby to be healthy and happy.
Oh, well, it's nice to hear you such a like positive love. That's the only attitude, like the only way to approach it, right? It's just to be, you know, as open-minded and positive as you can be and just surround yourself with other people who are positive about baby super budget Nista. And I hope it happens.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, but you know, I'm sure you guys, they hit me up sometimes, like in my mentions, like sending you baby rays or like telling me drink some vitamin that's supposed to be like a baby making vitamin. And I'm like, okay, you know, like, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stick to the doctor's orders right now, but thanks.
Man. Well, thank you so much for being candid. I mean, if you guys have, you put Tiff on blast. Someone was asking on Twitter, like, can we get an update on Tiffany's fibroids?
They did. Honestly, and I don't mind because it's something that we don't talk about enough. And I think like, you know, and I find that there's so many women, even women who've already have kids, so many women, especially women of color, brown women, we are afflicted with fibroids like crazy. Honestly, guys, it's really the reason why I went vegan. I mean, because honestly, I love chicken, you know? And I went vegan because although they don't know the 100% cause of fibroids, you know, the suspected cause is like, you know, hormones and meat and stuff like that definitely adds to it. So I was like, well, what can I do on my side, like to help with this process? And so I'm like, you know what, if I have to give up, you know, meat and well, dairy was easy because I wasn't really having that anyway, then so be it. No chicken, no, I mean, I still sneak in like fish here and there, but no chicken, no red meat, no turkey, no pork, which I don't eat pork anyway, but you know, definitely no dairy, and hoping to just, cause I don't want them to grow back, you know, because they can, you know, just because you got them removed. I know people who are having, you know, they're young. A friend of mine is still in her 30s. She already has kids. So she's actually getting a hysterectomy to just remove her uterus altogether because the fibroids have just taken over, you know? So yeah, it can be a scary thing.
Well, thanks for talking about it. And you found them through like a routine checkup, right?
No, I'll tell the story one day. Once I have the baby, I'll tell you how I found them because it's pretty sad and I'm just like, yikes. But okay. I just feel like I'm not ready to open up about that part yet. But yeah, I found them in a sad way and I was just like, oh, well, this sucks. But yeah, so when the baby's here, it'll be a good story. And I say that to myself, like it'll be a good story to share for those who have been through the same thing.
No, well, based on what you've gone through, and then my sister went through her own experience with reproductive issues this year, and I have been kicking myself because I need to go to the gynecologist and get my own checkup, and it's been a while. And I feel like if you're listening, and it's been a while since you've had a checkup at the gyno, just go and see what's there. Because even though I may not be planning to have a kid right now, I don't want it to be too late when I'm ready to find out there were issues that I could have, you know, gotten on top of. You know, it's like saving up for retirement. Like, I'm not going to retire tomorrow, but I want to make it easier for myself by taking some steps today to make sure that I can retire well.
Questions, how you gonna something. I really need to learn the words
to what was that?
I said it's a Destiny's Child song, I think, and it's like question.
I don't know. Okay, yeah. Miss Independent or no Independent?
Yeah,
I think from Charlie's Angels.
I got Yes. I don't know, but one of these days I'm going to learn some words so it makes sense.
Yeah, it means, yeah, you got it, you got it. I got you. Yeah, questions. So if you guys want to send us questions, you know you can hit us up at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. And we got an amazing assortment of questions. Also, I need to apologize because we ran a rerun while we were taking a couple of weeks off in late August. And I guess I accidentally left a call out that we had put on the show a couple of years ago where we were asking people to tell us what brown ambition means to you to enter a contest where you can have dinner with us and get some swag from Tiffany. And that contest is no longer technically running, but we got some fun emails from you guys. So I think we're going to talk about some way to thank you guys for those sweet messages that you sent. But I'm sorry, yes, that is an old contest. My bad. No longer running. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. We'll find a way to thank you guys. But a couple of questions in the mailbox this week. Let's take one from listener Chantel. Chantel says, you ladies talked a lot last year about engagement rings and the amount a man should spend for one. I'm not engaged yet, but like Tiffany, I know it's coming and I'm trying to prepare for my expenses. So her expenses, that's funny. To be honest, I want his wedding band to be special. So I want to customize it a little, not sure how yet. My question is, how much did you ladies pay for your husband's wedding bands? And did a lot of thought go into it? Ooh, interesting. So much focus on the woman's engagement ring, but do the men get any love?
I'm not going to lie. I'm the worst person to ask about this. We didn't spend that much, honestly, because he is so similar to me in that he was like, whatever. His only thing was we were literally like going to Macy's for like a coat. And then we walked by the, obviously I already had my engagement ring already. And then we walked by the jewelry section. And he's like, oh, do you want to look? Because we have to get bands. Because we were, you know, getting married, I guess, in a couple of weeks. And I said, okay. So when it came down to his, he honestly didn't want any embellishment on it. He just wanted like a simple, what is it? Not rose gold. What's the gold that looks like silver? White gold.
White gold, yeah.
Yeah, so a simple white gold band. And my husband is like really tall. So he was like, I don't want to, you know, one of these baby bands, you know. So he wanted like a thick band, but you know, but something that was going to look normal. So it might look thick on me, but it looks normal on him. And honestly, it was like, cause it was so simple. It was like, I want to say probably not even $1,000. And then on top of that, Macy's was having this huge, tremendous sale. It was like, and then we also had like, he has a Macy's card. So it was like, hey, this weekend, you know, this jewelry is like, you know, 50% off plus with your card, another 10. It ended up being like, I think like four something, $500. So it was next to nothing, not next to nothing, but as far as a band is concerned. So yeah, we didn't like, you know, it was just us strolling through. And like I said, he specifically didn't want any diamonds. He didn't want any, he just wanted a really simple band. And I mean, and so it was easy for me. So I didn't have to really think about it. I mean, if he would have wanted something fancy, you know, and I'm like, do the women traditionally pay for? We just kind of did it as a, I don't want to say as a couple, but we were like, it's on the Macy's card and it just gets paid from our bills account. So yeah. I never thought about it. Like, did you pay for Enrique? Ooh, for Husbay's?
Oh, it's fine. He's out there. Husbay's wedding band. Yeah, I mean, by that point we were living together and our finances were one. So yeah. He saved separately in a secret savings account for my engagement ring. And I forget how we paid for, I mean, yeah, it was kind of out of one pot, but his wedding band was $500, and that was significantly less than my wedding band. But I feel like men get off easy because, you know, their bands are typically more simple and they don't have, you know, diamonds or embellishments and stuff. And yeah, same thing. He had a very simple, I think, a platinum or white gold band. And we went to a local jewelry shop in Brooklyn that we just happened to be passing through, kind of similar to your story. And that was it. $500. I think $500 max. Like, I don't know, unless your man wants something really fancy, I don't see any reason to spend more than $500 on something.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, I mean, because his was, I'm sure, you know, Macy's, I'm sure, is inflated anyway. No shade to Macy's, but like, yeah, I was really thinking in my head, like, it should not be. I hadn't done any research on bands, so I was like, I didn't know what the norm was. But when it came all down to the price, I was like, oh, okay, $450 or whatever. That sounds good. Yeah. He was like, all right, yeah. So
just divide that by eternity and, you know.
God.
It's like $1 a year.
Exactly. I love that. Divide that by eternity.
It's like when they sell you a mattress. It's only going to cost you 89 cents a day when you think about the average time you're going to own a mattress.
And you're like, what does that even mean?
Well, thanks, Chantel. And good on you for at least thinking ahead. And hopefully it works out. Yeah. So let's take another question. This is a funny one from an anonymous listener. She says, I am currently working to pay off some credit card debt using the debt snowball method. I plan on having everything paid off next year, but restricted spending is kind of getting me down right now. I miss being able to grab a bottle of wine on my way home without a second thought or buying new clothes on a whim. While budgeting makes me feel more in control of my finances and aware of my spending, which is fantastic, I'm just having a hard time adjusting to my new budget babe lifestyle. Any thoughts or recommendations? Poor anonymous. Poor budget babe, we'll call her.
I like that.
Trying to get used to your new budget conscious life. Yeah, you know, it's not fun when you think about it as missing out on something. You know, so don't think about the bottle of wine that you're missing out on. We'll come back to that bottle of wine because I've been budgeting for a while and I never miss my bottle of wine. But I mean, think about what you're going to be gaining by paying off that credit card debt. Think about every dollar you're paying off as $1 in your pocket. Like you're getting richer by paying off that credit card debt. And then, I mean, maybe your budget is restricted in the wrong ways. Like maybe the things that truly bring you joy, you could make a little bit more room in your budget for, and then cut back in other areas to save money. I mean, a $5, $10 bottle of wine, you know, once in a while should not be breaking your budget. So I would take a look at where you're cutting back and maybe bake in a little bit of wiggle room if you're being way too restrictive, because like you don't want to make life miserable. And then even beyond that, just think about your mindset around budgeting too, because I think that's important. Just think about the positive aspects of it versus what you may be missing out on.
Yeah. And also too, sometimes it helps if like, I mean, I don't know if you're a cash person, but like it helps to have like money that you don't have to think about, meaning like, you know, so one of the things I used to do when I was teaching preschool and I had like this really like kind of like concrete budget. I kind of had like this fun money where it was like, it was either on my debit card or I would take it out in cash. And I did like, I purposely did not have to be responsible with it. It was like, Tiffany, retirement money set aside, savings are set aside, bills are set aside. And this fun money, this whatever it is literally, I used to tell myself, you could take this money and flush it down the toilet and you're fine. Like, this is like your non-allocated, have to be responsible money. So sometimes setting aside that, you know, outside of your other responsibilities helps, because if I wanted sushi every night for a week and my fun money, you know, allowed for that, then so be it. And so that way, you know, when you splurge, you can do so without, you know, without worrying about it. Setting aside a fun fund might be helpful.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, a small $5 bottle of wine, if it brings you joy and it makes you feel like you're still living your fun life, Miss Budget Babe, I mean, that's a small price to pay, I think. And I don't feel like it's not going to make or break your budget, you know?
Yeah.
Treat yourself just a tiny bit.
Treat yourself.
Thank you for your question. And good luck, yeah. Budget Babe. Just stick with it.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Because Budget Babe is way more fun than Debt Diva.
Yes.
Debt depression. Okay, one last question. Maybe a couple more. So this is another anonymous question, y'all. Shady in these streets. She says, hey guys, I love your show. I'm late to the podcast game and just started about a month ago, but you're my number one show for inspiration. Awesome. My question is a tax question. Yikes. I did not file my taxes. Wait, Tiffany just like...
I've been there. Girl, read.
She says, we're getting a tax question in September, so we know where this is going. Okay. She says, I did not file my taxes this year and also did not file for an extension. I know I owe a huge amount and I just panicked. I usually do my own taxes through TurboTax, but I'm a little scared since I'm so late. Should I just hire someone to do them or should I just file like I usually do? P.S. I have a senior in high school and I need my taxes done so we can get her FAFSA going in a few months. Help. Any suggestions are greatly appreciated. Oof. Yeah. Not filing your taxes. Not cool. So if you guys are out there, if you owe taxes, just because you don't file doesn't mean that the IRS doesn't see the debt. It's still there.
And accruing interest.
So you don't say how much you owe, but the worst thing you can do is what you're doing now, which is to ignore it, to be perfectly honest. You need to go to irs.gov, find the I'm going to literally send you a link to an irs.gov page where you have the contact info, where you can call them and get on a payment plan.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
They exist. I know people who have done IRS payment plans. Interest will still accrue, but at least you will be getting on top of it and getting your ducks in a row versus just letting it sit out there and collect late penalties and nastiness.
And honestly, if you have a good, my accountant, Carlos, I remember, you think you're bad? Try 3 years. 3 years of non-filing tax. When I started my businesses, because I was like, I didn't even really make no money. That's not how that works. No. Oh my God. And honestly, I ended up owing $8,000, at the end, and half of which were fees. Can you imagine? Ouch. Almost Carlos was like, Tiffany, yo, you didn't even owe that much. Cause you're right. You didn't make a ton, but because it was fee on top of fee on top of fee on top of fee. And so, but there's also too, if you're nervous about doing it yourself, I know a friend of mine who, he owed even more than that. He owed a significant amount of money. And because of the amount, I don't know how much you owe since it's just a year, but because of the amount, Carlos was able to call the IRS and actually work out not only a payment plan, but a reduction. So me, 8,000, although it was a good amount of money, it's not my friend owed 30,000, something crazy. So, he was just like, there's no way I'm going to be able to pay that. So, he worked out some sort of settlement basically. So depending on how much a few thousand or a few hundred, calling the IRS and just say, I could do this by myself. But if you're I really think I owe even more than that, you might want to get an accountant so Carlos's father used to actually work for the IRS, and together they opened a firm. So looking for an accountant who has a specialty in basically IRS dealings, That's one of the reasons why I like him, is because he's not just a regular CPA. He's someone who actually, if I had to go to IRS court, he would go on my behalf. He's done that before for people.
You'll probably end up doing is getting put on some sort of installment agreement. And installments is just where you pay the debt off in a monthly payment. And I believe that's for people who owe $50,000 or less. I'm actually looking at the Magnify Money Guide to Facing Tax Debt, which I can send you a link to as well, which probably has some helpful information. But yeah, I mean, you just be honest with yourself about it, anonymous, and get on top of it, because I mean, you're right. You do need, you need to have your most recent, most recent, taxes filed if you want to fill out your kid's FAFSA. So you want to get on that ASAP.
Yes, you do.
But thank you for your question and being honest about it, because now you can at least get on the right track.
Exactly. Because, everybody makes mistakes. It's about what do you do next?
And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. All right, BA fam, we work hard and we play hard. But when it comes to investing and having your money in the market, you want your money to be working for you. That's exactly what the Betterment Automated Investment and Savings app can help it do. Keeps your money out there working hard and kicking you know what. I love Betterment because it makes it easy for even a beginning investor to figure out how to put their money in the market and set it and forget it and be at peace with that, because Betterment has got you covered with their automated investment and savings app. Their technology is going to give you advanced tools that are built to help you maximize those returns. All you got to do is visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank.
Oh. All of us make mistakes. I was just speaking to, I was at this conference last week I mentioned, and I got to talk with a handful of kids who go to HBCUs and they're studying journalism. And of course I went there to talk about career, but I ended up talking by the end of it, I had them all on discoverscorecard.com and checking their credit report. It was really hilarious. But one of the girls in the group, she was so nervous to admit that she had taken out this Discover student credit card and then had misplaced the credit card. and hadn't told her parents. And she was super, she just didn't, she was like, I just feel like it's really bad that I lost it. And I feel like people could be using it. I just didn't want to tell anybody. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. You know, I lose my credit card all the time. Not really all the time, but it's such an easy fix. And yeah, she just felt this sense of like embarrassment around it and around the repercussions. So it's not just big things like tax debt. It's like even the small things, everyone kind of, you know, you get like you feel embarrassed and you don't want to do anything, but that's usually the worst thing to do.
Yeah. It's always the worst thing to do, but it's always the number one default, isn't it? You're like, ooh, child, my leg hurts. I'm just going to sit here with it. my tooth aches. You know what? Let me see how long I can wait. Like the default is always, if I ignore it, maybe it'll go away, and it literally only compounds the trouble. So I'm trying to practice that. Like, so one of my new practices, and what do you do for this, Mandy, is that like, if I'm scared, like say like, today my contractor emailed me and I had asked him for a bunch of things and I thought I was scared to open the email that he was going to be like, girl, you tried it. I'm moving on to somebody else. And so I forced myself as soon as I saw it, I was like, I'm scared. Open it now. So I'm trying to retrain my brain that fear equates to immediate action. Because that's not my normal trajectory when something happens. It's like, yikes, I'm scared. Open the door. Yikes, I'm scared. Read the email. Yikes, I'm scared. Listen to the voice message, you know? And so that's like what I've been trying to practice. I don't always get there, but I feel like I'm like 50% of the way there of doing that initial take action right away when fear hits.
I'm totally with you on the whole. I get an email. You know how you can like read the first line of the email, like the preview? And I'm like, I don't think I want to read this right now. I like close my browser and try and tell myself I didn't see it. Yeah. But then it just ends up weighing on me and it just stresses me out. Like I'll try and say, I'm not going to read that till tomorrow. But then I end up reading it that night because I just can't, you know, sit with the wondering for that much longer. So I agree. Just pull the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm super passive aggressive. I'll actually send an email to a friend. I'm like, girl, read it. So what is it bad? Is it good?
I've done that to husband a couple of times.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say? She's like, girl, just read the email. I'm like, and you want to take one more?
Yeah, we can do one more quick question. This is from listener Paulette. She says, when do y'all think is a good time to request your interest rate to be lowered on your credit card and or a credit limit increase? Did you guys know you can request an interest rate reduction on your credit card? You can sometimes.
I usually say like I feel like a good time is if you've seen that your credit score has increased, because typically the question is like, you know, the reason why you have the interest rate is a reflection of where your score basically is. So if I've seen like, hey, my score is doing so much better than it was 6 months ago, whenever I got this card, let me call then. That's a good time, but
yeah, maybe not after you miss 3 payments in a row.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, oh, so glad you called because you owe us money.
Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask for a rate reduction. But when you ask for a credit limit increase, just know that it will trigger a hard inquiry on your credit report. Cause they're basically going to pull your credit again. And it could be a temporary ding to your credit. Have you found this though? Sometimes I've indirectly gotten a credit limit increase by just using my card a lot.
Yeah.
Like charging. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of bad, but sometimes if you actually use your card and you are almost maxing it out and you're paying it off each month, but you're almost maxing out each month as well. They will eventually, some credit cards, they'll be checking for that and they will bump your limit up. That happened to us with one of our credit cards recently, because we've been buying so many appliances. And they were like, okay, we'll give you more wiggle room because you need a bigger limit on your credit card.
No, for sure. Like, but you're right. It's not like if you're just putting $10 on it a month, but typically they're doing that. They're like, oh, you're responsibly using more of your balance. We got you. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with asking because it will help. Like the increase, although you'll get that like little ding on your credit score, you know, it might help with your utilization rate, you know? And so you might get an increase in your credit score, because now you have, unless you're actually using your, you know, the card to that amount, but now you've got a bigger credit limit and hopefully you're keeping your balances low. So the comparison of my credit limit is higher, even though my balances might be the same. So that difference might result in a few points in your credit score. So usually it kind of like it nets out even, but I mean, if your credit score is decent and you have a decent payment history and you're not late, typically their answer is yes. They might not do it to the extent that you want it, but typically their answer is yes.
Yeah. Good tip. All right. Thank you. Thank you, BA listeners.
Yes. This was a good one. You guys have some really great questions.
Yes, they do. I'm sorry. I spaced out.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.